It's usually me that says that.
Right.
That's why it's funny if I say that, because I'm the least likely to do that.
Hello, welcome to the big show. Ignore everything that's just happened before I did it. I was trying to do a slick start because we've tried to stream on Facebook Live on the page, but this lot screwed that up. Wittering. Wittering. It's the big show. All the big stories in tech that have gone on this week, and joining me, great panel. Starting us off, Muller.
Oh, hello. That's all right. I'm normally last.
No, I know. I'll put you in top left corner there.
Hey.
How you doing, pal?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. How was Aston Hall today?
Yeah, I had quite a few people to take round. It was nice and warm, and I was in fine voice. Lost it by the third one, but...
Is it freezing in there?
Not at the moment. It can be in the winter, but we've had a very mild winter, and it's warmed up, so it's comfortable in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because normally like old houses, they're warm, aren't they?
The first couple of years I worked there, you had to wear two coats in the winter. It was freezing. And gloves, but this winter just gone. As long as you wore a fleece, you were okay.
Right, okay.
But it's been quite warm in there.
Glad we cleared that up. next to him, it's Howa. How you doing, mate?
I'm fine. Hello.
What have you been up to? We haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah, long, long time, but I'm back.
You did. Now, you said you did WordCamp Europe.
Europe, yep.
Berlin.
Yes, that was fun.
I'm sure. Where? So, how long was it for? Just a weekend or a week? Or
I was there for over about 5 days, but it was over 3 days.
Right.
So yeah, but it was good. There was something to do every night and every day, but I'm only mainly remember the nights.
You can't remember the nights. Drinking heavily.
Those are good nights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good nights, yeah.
Next to her, it's... I can't remember which line he's on. Hang on. Oh, there we go. Greeny, how you doing, mate?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right. Good. Absolutely no problem at all, dude. How's your week been?
I'm falling apart a little bit. We've had a couple of nice days of sun.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd take full advantage of it, before going back to work or something like that. And bits of me are falling off now, especially my nose. The nose is really suffering. It hurts.
It's peeling.
It's peeling. It is.
You fell asleep in the sun. You're looking beetroot, mate.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I don't want a beetroot or tomato. Bit of both, I think.
I've eaten lobster that aren't that pink.
it'll go golden brown, I'm sure. Or I'll just... Yeah, I look like the senior detective or something. Mauricio would be amazed.
Excellent, mate. And last, but by no means least, Atlee Hunter in Canada. How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. How you doing?
Yeah, all right. Have you moved yet, or are you not yet?
No. Yesterday, I spent a long, long day after work painting the garage to get ready for selling the house.
Right.
So yeah, still haven't moved yet, but
you got no takers yet.
Haven't put it on the market yet.
Oh, right,
on
okay.
The market soon. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, good to have you all here. The Week in Tech, all the stuff that's gone on, all the big stories that are happening. Who's going to be first to show us one in the chat room?
Should be a greedy story. We know what it is, don't we?
What's Greeny's story? What's your story, Greeny? Remind me. Are you doing Big Jabo? We didn't do a match show this afternoon, yeah. So Mac is not off limits today, so...
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I think whichever way you look at it, it's one of the biggest tech stories of the year, almost. So Johnny Ive, the man responsible for the iMac, the iPod, the iPhone, and I suppose more importantly, or more fundamentally, reinventing Apple. When I back in the day, I went to Apple for an interview, and I got talking to this lady who was in the evil Scully days, and everybody was really scared. We were having a nice cup of coffee and talking about it, and everybody was really scared that it was sort of going downhill, and it wouldn't be there in a year. But I think you could say that a combination of both Steve Jobs and Sir Johnny Ive just totally reinvented Apple, and it is the great company that it is today. So. Yeah.
He played. So, he played his part. There was a few people this morning in the Slack room talking genius, which is too far. He's a talented designer, and I think. And I put in the thing that he. I think the Sunflower iMac was a seminal moment in industrial design for computers when it showed that you didn't have to have a white box with ports on the back. That was it. It had something that you could create. And I think the trash can Mac, the Mac Pro, trash can Mac Pro, I think everyone slagged it off. But actually, in terms of design, creating a triangular motherboard with a top that came off an event system that went through and out the top, that was pretty special. That was pretty special.
I will admit to having a slight man crush on old Johnny Ive. He's,
well, you do remember, Greeny, that we got you a blow-up doll with Johnny Ive's face on it at the Rainy Bash.
So I take this awesome. Very seriously. He always looks so buff, doesn't he? I don't know whether that's photography or if you met him. It's sort of when I was working in Exeter for Apple, his mom used to come in all the time. Johnny Ive's mum used to, I suppose she lives in Exeter if she's still alive.
Well, it's a long way to come if she doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was a really nice lady. I look forward to seeing which direction Apple's going to go in without him. I think the last sort of thing he designed will be remembered as the AirPods. He designed those, and I think that's the last thing that he'll be remembered for.
Right. Did Johnny Ive's mom used to come in and go, I'm Johnny Ive's mom, like she was, owed something special, or was she unassuming and you clocked it?
No, she used to say, Will Green from British Magazine, yeah.
You're having a laugh.
Mrs. Ive, stop it, please.
She said, my boy Johnny's got a bit of a man crush on you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah,
bit of a bromance.
It was a bromance.
Used to pass your notes.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So there we go. I thought out of what I find quite interesting. So he's leaving. He's setting up his own company called With Love, I think it is. He's called. And so Johnny was looking after. I call him Johnny because obviously we're like that. Up until. Well, as it is now, Johnny is in charge of both the hardware and the software, because it used to be back in the day that they were separated, and apparently they're going to separate them out again. So there'll be one sort of department for the hardware and one department for the software, rather than the way they've got it set up at the moment.
Bob Beach says you've got the name wrong. It's not With Love. It's With Love to Greeny.
Oh, it'd be nice.
Oh, mate. Anyone like to add anything else to Johnny's epitaph before we move on to the proper stories? No, yeah. Right, okay, moving on then. Next story.
I'd like to add something to Johnny's epitaph.
Johnny the Genius got around 6 minutes. There we go. Greeny, if you want, you can have another story, mate. Don't worry.
Okay.
Who's next? Come on, give me a story, man. You know this is...
I'll just drop to one.
It's hardly audio gold, this, is it? Well done, Howard.
I've dropped one. There seems to have been it's mainly what I've been seeing, apart from Johnny Ives, is about the takedown of the app that digitally removes women's clothes. So the thing I found quite interesting about this was, fine, the app went down, but it was their reasoning for bringing the app down. They said they didn't think the world was ready for the app.
It's £50 app.
Yeah. So they made their money.
Called Deep Nude. One campaigner against so-called revenge would call the app terrifying.
Yeah, I think that was I think it's the women's group, the ones about all for the rape victims and stuff. Or the ones revenge porn, that was it.
Yeah.
Am I even allowed to say that?
I'm sorry, this is just sick, isn't it? I mean, anyone
that's just... Yeah, but it was there. We just don't think the world's ready quite yet. In what world will we be ready?
The lawyers weren't ready for all the lawsuits.
But there's a certain... It's not actually taking women's clothes off.
It's not, but...
It doesn't actually do that.
It doesn't take your clothes off. It just...
Yeah.
It obviously runs through an algorithm, and then it sees, I mean, the more skin you show, the better the algorithm is. But apparently it works a lot more on the women than it does on men. But then, you see, I don't know whether that's because maybe most of those pictures showed more skin.
Maybe it's because nobody wants to see men naked in life. Nobody was willing to put the work in on that part of it.
Well, you say that, but...
You should have done it for men, because you only need one last chicken in the shop, and then that's it. You've done everybody.
Is this like those x-ray specs you could get from the back of the Sunday papers as a kid?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what inspired him, wasn't it?
Is it?
Isn't yeah. You?
Well, I never got a pair, so I don't know what they were like, but...
Well, you never got a pair because you don't know what they're like. Muller, they were attached to the back of a comet. They weren't bloody real, man.
Of course they weren't, but, I mean, they must have done something.
So I don't know what they were like.
They didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything. That's the point.
Oh, right.
You haven't missed anything, I promise you. And I never owned a pair either. I just know that I know I didn't miss anything.
They used to have a feather in them. That's how it worked.
They had what?
A feather.
A feather.
They used to have a feather in them, when you look through them, the feather sort of distorted your vision. It made it look like, you know.
Like you were looking.
They're all right.
Are you sure they had a feather in them?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, that's how they worked. They used to have a feather in them, and so you look through the feather, and it sort of gave people sort of weird outlines and stuff like that. Look it up, I bet you.
Okay, no, I trust you absolutely, really. I would never disagree with you, mate.
Oh, I'm going to, what are you lot of rubbiting on? I'm going to look at something important.
The thing is, it's a scam as well, though, because it's just not real anyway, so what's the point?
Mm-mm.
A feather is embedded between the layers of each lens.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I've got to see if I can find myself a set of 70s x-ray specs now, because you've intrigued me.
You want to go feather watching?
Go on eBay, 70s x-ray specs.
What kind of feather, though? Duck or goose or...?
Goose.
Oh, yeah, goose, and only from the right-hand side of the goose, as well as it didn't work. If you got the...
You get the left-hand side of the goose, you're seeing nothing.
Yeah, you got squiff-eyed, and it would set permanent as well.
So you're not down with duck feathers, then?
No, very good, mate. I like that joke. That was subtle. The people on audio are only just catching up to that. There seems to be a worrying trend. I mean, we were talking earlier on about the deep fake Tom Cruise video. Just before we started the show, the people that did the Boston Dynamics fighting robot thing have done this thing, and it is good. It is extremely good. And it's, you know, Tom Cruise comes to see them. They've got a voice guy doing the hair's wrong. They should have thought about that, but it's not bad at all. And then you've got the deep fake porn that we talked about weeks ago. And this seems to be a trend of, I mean, the movie industry is what wants that, because it wants to do a new film with Steve McQueen in it, but Steve McQueen's not actually there for obvious reasons. Or let's remake Anthony and Cleopatra with Burton and Taylor, and we can, because we don't need Burton and Taylor there anymore. Mm-hmm.
And then how much do they not have to pay the actors, right?
Yeah, because you get you get someone who can, all they've got to do, you get a voiceover artist, you get a person who can do body postures, and you make the rest up yourself in post.
Well, and you make the rest up based on materials you already own. They already own significant quantities of digital images of these people so that they can use those for generating the deep fake imagery.
Well, we haven't had
so then they basically say, well, we used our own stuff, we already own this, we don't have to pay you anything.
We had an advert here for Galaxy, I think it was, and it had Audrey Hepburn in a drop top car in a 1950s type dress, she went on a bus, and it was her. It was absolutely, you could see the lines, if you like, of editing, but it was extremely well done, very plausible, and you could see it wasn't going to be a mile away before they could actually, you know, remake Bullet with Steve McQueen and And I didn't know Ford did that, didn't they? They did a, was it the Ford Cougar?
Yeah, an advert.
Yeah, they did an advert and they had Steve McQueen driving the Ford Cougar and they recreated the chase scene from Bullet.
So, but the thing is, surely their estates would be going after the film companies if they used their image without their permission.
Nope, because they own the rights to the footage.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. They already own footage of these people, so...
But they'd have to pay repeat fees, surely, and all sorts.
Nope. Because once you've
died...
It'd
be just like re-releasing the movie.
No, you can't. You don't pay copyright indefinitely on royalties. You can pay it on copyright, but there isn't copyright. It's royalty, and royalty's different for...
I think a person's image, though, surely is different.
No, because we've never done this with a person's image. This is another case of where another the legalities of what's happening in technology far outstrip what we're able to do with technology, or being far outstripped by what we're able to do with the technology. It'll be 10 years, 5 years before they ever catch up to anything legally that would have to do with this. I mean, the arguments that are in place would be that we're reusing our own digital imagery. We're using the stuff that we recorded and we paid them for their service. They paid them for their work, and they could even get away with the royalties of having to pay them for re-releasing the movie versions of it by just taking stuff off the cutting room floor and using that to generate the images.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm absolutely certain about that. I'm fairly sure, though, that there isn't a requirement for it.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that it would be that as well. I just think that there's a lot of ways around that legally because there is nothing in the books that, even approaches us.
Deep Pan says VW redid Singing in the Rain as well, yeah, Gene Kelly stuff. Tom's just typed Mustang, and I think he's probably correcting me on the Ford reference, but we never had the Mustang at the time that they did that advert. We had the Ford Cougar or something like that, and it was, it might have been different in the States. Didn't Lucasfilm have to get permission from the estate of Peter Cushing and Carrie Fisher to do Rogue One?
I think they did, and that's what's back of my mind.
That's a Google search. Someone can do the Google search, please, and that would be great.
I just think that there would be a legal issue that way.
But I think that it might have been because they were already signed on to do movies, and because they died. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Fisher was,
but legalities based on like that were something different than what this scenario would have, right?
I'm also now painfully aware of the fact that we've gone away from Howard's story. And talked about,
but it's all kind of linked in though, so that's fine.
So the thing is that I don't think there's anything positive to say about faking nude women out with an algorithm.
No.
It's not right, but I'm just scared that if I say anything about it, someone's going to pick up and say that I said something positive about it when I absolutely didn't. You know,
I wasn't really actually expecting anything positive or negative. It was just that it's been everywhere I go, that's all I've been seeing, that and the Johnny Ive news. So
yeah,
just thought, well, that's the news in tech. Yeah,
it sort of follows though the general sort of line that technologies take, especially new technologies. Almost every new technology advances heavily because it was used by the pornographic industry in some case. I mean, streaming wouldn't be what it was if it wasn't for pornographic sites streaming video. There's a lot of technologies that if you look at where the industries that took them on and progressed them first, you'll find that a lot of them tend to be linked to that kind of usage. And it tends to be something horrible, I guess, about our society, but that's sort of where we end up starting to see the first usage of a lot of new technology, especially things to do with any kind of data transference or image manipulation.
Muller's posted something rather than read it out.
Well, I'm reading the Lanham Act. It's something to do with using digital clones, but I wasn't going to read it out till I read what the Lanham Act is. But it does seem to say that you can't just use someone's image. But it's a bit more complicated than that, and I think it would take a lawyer to go through this.
Okay, so the last line there, the use of a celebrity's image could be an implied endorsement. So if you've got a, if you were saying like the Ford film, that's clearly endorsing the product by the sense of making that. So therefore, yes, I would agree that that's a different thing, perhaps. But if you're talking about making a movie with a storyline and a plot and just not having to pay the famous person, I don't know that that would be an issue. Mm. I think that's where it would separate, perhaps.
I think what would happen is that they would pay just to avoid any possible legal issues. Because it might be cheaper to pay than not to pay.
Perhaps.
Right, Bob's done a bit of a search for us, and he's come back with a quote from Tyler Ochoa, who's a professor at the Santa Clara University of School of Law. And he's put, it's very likely that the filmmakers secured permission from Cushing's estate or direct heirs because the laws regarding post-mortem rights of publicity differ in each state. So, that's quite interesting. But that's not a defined answer. That's it's likely that. But there isn't a definitive statement that you know. So, yeah, that's I would say that's probably true, but...
I would say that my answer is probably what they would do. It's probably cheaper in the long run to pay than risk having to take the film apart, change it, and pay all that those legal costs. It might be just quicker to go to Peter Cushing's family and go, we'll give you $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing on a Star Wars movie, is it? So it'd be, I don't know if it's that much, but that's just an example. I just think they would pay rather than risk anything.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that was my story.
I'm trying to speed read this, but I'm not working, so I'll leave it up and I'll have a go. But there's a if you'd like to read the Vulture article on how did Rogue One legally recreate the late Peter Cushing, then go to britishjetnetwork.com/chat and you can look at the story there. Just navigate to the calendar to the 28th of June and you'll have an idea of what it is that we've got. Good one. Nice pick. Next story, then.
I put one in your Slack because I'm having a few problems with the chat. Right,
okay.
You put it in smack.
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 Windows foldable Surface PC with Windows Core OS will run Android apps.
So I think that what Microsoft's done, and this sort of falls in line with some another piece of technology news that Microsoft's recently, later versions of Windows will now be running a Linux core alongside the Windows core.
Right.
So this will allow them to realistically run an Android app very easily because it'll have the core that the Android app was looking for, and they can run it in its own space. That would keep it protected away from the operating system, away from the main processor of the operating system. So it's an interesting way to get around the app problem that they're having with developers not wanting to build apps for the platform. And I don't know, it might give them an opportunity to make, you know, sort of a go of what they're trying to do with this Core OS and with some of the lighter spec machines. Most of these Core OS machines will be ARM machines that won't be running something as powerful as an i7, although some of the newer Qualcomm ARM chipsets are coming out being pretty close to the same power as an i7 in some of the respects. So I found that it was an interesting sort of take on how to get around the app gap that they've been dealing with for the last several years.
So a question from Bob, how certain are we that the foldable Surface will actually get produced anyway?
We don't.
Well, it's a thing because it's got a code name.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a thing. I mean, Andromeda had a code name too, or has a code name. And
yeah.
So does, this is, I think, Centaurus is what they're talking about. I mean, at any point, it's just like... just like any product from any other company. I mean, Google dumped Google Glass after they released it, and now they're looking at bringing it out again under a sort of a limited, specific vertical market. Technologies like this sort of show up on the landscape, and you hear about them, and then sometimes they make it out the door, and sometimes they don't. What will make it out the door for sure is Windows Core OS. What they've done is they've really worked to modularize Windows, which I think has been probably 20 years in coming.
Yeah.
It allows them to, you know, provide different UIs. One of the interesting things that that I was talking about, I was talking to some people from Microsoft at Build last month, and one of the things that they'll be able to do soon is you'll be able to actually use in your Linux workspace, you'll be able to use a Linux desktop. Like, you'll be able to actually have a Linux desktop on your Windows machine. Like, I mean, they're working on modularizing the operating system so that they'll be able to create the right experience for the right situation. Right now, and historically, Windows has been sort of, here's a big beast, put it on, hopefully you can squeeze what you need to do into it. And they're working on sort of looking at it from a different angle and going, okay, we need the core of this, and they're making it much smaller, much more workable, and then all of the other things will be things that plug into it. So you'll have one UI library set that will be for X device, and another one will be for Y device, and they'll be able to, you know, have you'll still have Windows 10, but it'll be Windows 10 with the right UI for the type of device and the right, you know, the right weight to be able to work with what you're doing.
So this story, there's comments coming through in the chat room from Jim saying, is this vaporware? And Bob saying, will it actually happen? One of the key phrases in this article says, according to Forbes, Microsoft's foldable Surface will sport 2 9-inch displays. So that sounds like it's going to be hinged. It's not going to be a continuous display that has the cracking and folding issues, which that gives credibility to the fact it's going to happen. 10 nanometers late field Intel processor is specified. And the author has put, I can confirm that Centaurus is indeed an Intel device and does feature two separate displays, not a single foldable display like the Lenovo. So that sounds very concrete that this device is coming.
And
they're all saying early 2020.
The Andromeda devices too. So they've been built. The interesting thing is that just recently, to go with your assumption, which I think is very correct, is that Microsoft actually had an internal event where they did show a folding PC to large numbers of the employees at Microsoft, which is something they don't very often do. So yeah, you're quite right. This is quite possibly going to be something that we'll see come out either in late 2019 or early 2020.
Jim, what's the point of a modular OS if Microsoft don't have a universal app?
Okay, so I think he's sort of counting two different things. One of the interesting things, the modular OS will allow them to make devices that will run UWP applications, then also with the same base OS and then a different second layer, have an application that can run historic legacy Win32 apps, and even on a different configuration, have a different layer that runs just web-based OSs. Or web-based apps. So they could make devices that sort of fit a lot more scenarios and make it a lot more malleable. I think it's kind of the vision that they originally wanted to have with Windows CE, which was the compact edition or whatever else you want to call it. And it gives them the ability to solve a lot more computing scenarios and a lot more use cases with their base OS without having to completely rewrite the whole, which is a really, really massive thing to try and maintain and also to evolve over a period of time and keep going with the technology that it has to run with.
Is this just a Road Warriors machine? So it'll be on mobile data?
It depends. Yeah, some of these will be Road Warriors. I think you're going to see a lot more Windows or Microsoft's branded devices, the devices that Microsoft puts out as their sort of their signature or I forget the name of the gave it, but they're devices that are sort of like, here's what you can do with this situation or with this kind of a device. A lot of those are going to come out with LTE or G5 or whatever. In the future, you're going to see a lot more of them because the move is towards being constantly connected and constantly, you know, able to get at data and keep less data with you and get information when you need it. It's an interesting look at the way that they are looking at developing
both devices and their operating system. And it's quite divergent from the way that they've historically done it.
Yeah, very much so. Well, the thing is, it's innovation, though, isn't it? And they are, you know, this, if this is going to be a foldable PC that's got two screens that are going to go together, then that's clearly showing it's attacking a mobile market and a mobile market base. And why would you not allow Android apps to go on it? Because that's the biggest marketplace you've got for apps. You haven't got to recode anything to get it onto the OS to get it to work with Microsoft, because no one's probably going to do that anyway. So yeah, this just opens a massive window and gives an appeal to your device. And someone said in the chat room, you know, now that Google aren't making tablets anymore, this could be a killer move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely something that is sort of a shot across the bow of the Google Chromebook as well, because it's the Core OS allows them, like I said, to build a web-first scenario as well that can mm-hmm. compete directly with the Chromebook sort of audience, where you have, you know, the apps that run specifically web-based and are updated web-based and PWAs and things like that. So mm-hmm. that combined with their adoption of the Chrome engine for JavaScript and HTML processing, the Chromium engine, sorry, really sort of goes all along together with this whole process. It's kind of interesting to see sort of all of these seemingly separate projects sort of come together into the culmination of an actual vision.
Very un-Microsoft-like.
It is, yes. Microsoft has changed quite a bit over the last few years. And a lot of that can be attributed to Satya Nadella's sort of leadership.
Would one of the screens be used as a keyboard? That would,
yes.
So that would mean you wouldn't be able to get all that muck when you're out on the road in your keyboard, which is a problem.
Well, I think that's the point there is exactly as you said. It's not just a keyboard; it's an input interface. So then you've got stylus, you've got
pen,
you've got pen, brushes.
Well, yeah, you can literally write down. And Microsoft's inking technology is by far the best on any of the markets right now. You can, other than Wacom, their inking technology is fantastic. You can write. I will quite often write things on the screen rather than type them, because if I want to jot something down quickly, it's actually faster for me to write it down.
Yeah,
see my handwriting.
Oh, my handwriting's atrocious too.
I should have been a doctor.
And I'm amazed that it picks up even half.
Hey, my dad's a doctor, and his handwriting is immaculate.
Your dad's a doctor, his handwriting is impeccable, is it? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
He says a doctor.
You can read it.
Isn't that kind of against the grain?
Yeah.
It's against the reputation, isn't it? It's not, you know.
Well, that's half the reason why they've done digital prescriptions now, because the chemists were constantly phoning the doctor.
What have you done? Did you write?
Yeah, no.
Did you really mean that?
No, a chemist told me. I got a friend who's a chemist. And he told me that they were constantly phoning the doctor's surgery. But now they're linked, they can just look online and see exactly what they meant. Because it's all printed out now. Mm. They don't have to print out anything. It's just there.
Yeah. Bob's put a comment, ink to text is extremely good on the iPad Pro 2. And I know, because I love the Notes Plus app. And when I, you know, you circle it and then you just hold on it and it just gives you an option to change the text. And it does a bloody good job. I write in block capitals anyway. I can't do joined up writing, which answers a lot of questions. It's easier, but it does find my stuff pretty easily. Not bad at all. And it does kind of work out upper and lower case, even though I've written in block capitals. So. Mm. Not bad. My Nemo, my Nevo, says Bob. My Memo. Because Deepan said, which app do you use for that? And Bob can't recall. And Bob's too lazy to go and get his iPad and open it and tell him.
He can't recall the Emmy out offhand.
Yeah, he can't. Molly, have you got a story for us?
Yeah. I'm going to do a lighter-hearted story than I was going to do. So, we all played with Hot Wheels as a kid. And they brought Hot Wheels into the right up to date, into the 21st century. So you can play with your Hot Wheels on a track, and the tracks are intelligent, so you can tell how fast your car's going. But now you can pick up your car, scan it with your phone, and inside there's a chip, and then you can play with your car online in a virtual thing. And these are going on sale at the Apple store, so I can say that as this is not a totally Mac show. So these will be, I think it's only got American price at the moment, $179, which will probably mean £170. But for that, you get two cars, quite a lot of track, and this thing that counts your speed as you go through. So I just wish I was a kid now. I used to have Hot Wheels. I used to have them go down right down the stairs and out the door.
I have with Matchbox.
They weren't as good as Hot Wheels.
I had Matchbox. They bloody were. I remember my dad. So my dad used to bring me home. He used to manage a news agency. When there was a new car came in, he would bring it home for me on the Fridays.
Imagine, the car prices are quite reasonable, aren't they? $8, which will probably be about £5 or £6 here. I mean, that's sort of pocket money prices, isn't it, for kids? So as long as if you buy them the track and that for Christmas, the kids can buy their own cars as pocket money. So I can see this taking off big time.
Since starting the brand 50 years ago, they're releasing this thing because they're celebrating 50 years in business, but they've sold 500 million cars in 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's amazing.
It's the track as well.
Heartbreaking story. My wife's grandfather, when he passed, we went to help move the stuff out of his house, and he had a massive Hot Wheel collection, probably about 1,000 cars.
Wow.
And just from the 50s, he collected them. He just picked them up from everywhere. And we found out that a huge number of them were original boxes, but a couple of years previous or 2 years previous, he had gone through them and taken them all out of the boxes because the boxes were taking up too much room and threw all out of the boxes.
Oh, man, that would have been worth a fortune.
So there's a massive number of Hot Wheel cars that were in original boxes and ended up scrapping the boxes and basically decimating the value of the cars.
The cars will still be worth something, but they'd be worth a lot more with the boxes.
They actually sold the cars and, the amount of money the cars were worth was a fair bit, surprisingly. I was staggered at how much it was worth, but yeah. The cars were worth more than all the furniture and all the stuff in his house when we sold the house, in the house.
Wow.
Like basically, cars were the most expensive thing he had other than the house.
There used to be a thing, and it was like, it was powered by elastic bands, and you used to put it on the Hot Wheels track, and you pushed it down, and as the car went in, it boosted the car along the track. The trouble is, it boosted it sometimes that hard, the car come flying off the track, particularly if you put it too near a corner.
I think I remember that thing, that thing it would just whack the car and just knock it.
The car would sort of get stuck underneath it, wouldn't it, and hit a pad that held the car, and then the car would, the elastic band would free, and then it would sort of boot the car out the other side of it.
I had track at my grandma's, quite a bit of it, and it was the stuff, spaded it together, and I used to stick one of her stools on top of the table in her kitchen, tape the stuff onto it so that it would stick, and then I could push it off. And then I used to run it down towards her bathroom, which was at the opposite end of the hall, go all the way down the hole, there'd be a loop in the middle, and then it would come off the end, then it would jump off, and I'd have a box for it to land into.
You should have another bit of track and got it lined up dead on so the car jumped on the track and carried on.
I did do that, but it didn't always work.
No, it probably wouldn't.
Mm. Yeah.
But they were actually...
I had a brother, so we only had track for a little while. Once my brother and I started having fights with the track, she took all the track away.
Whipping each other with it. But the cars were actually pretty stable in flight.
They were, surprisingly.
They were. They well landed on their wheels quite often.
Yeah. I just remember as a kid, me and my brother would spend hours with our Hot Wheel set. Absolutely hours. And I don't know how much track we had, but we had enough to go down the stairs, into the hallway, out into the outside, and back round again. Of course, we didn't go back up the stairs, but that wasn't the point, was it?
Well, the stairs is a bit severe even going down, though, mate.
I know. It was, if the car could stand the track to the bottom of the, you would go.
You had quite a bit of space, but yeah, you see the car just sort of bounce off and you'd be watching it almost come up over the edge of the track. Almost.
I had the, I had like a blue segment shape that looked like a section of an orange, you know, like a segment. And you could clip the track to it, so you had banking to send it round corners.
Oh, yeah, I had one of those too. They were fantastic. You clip the track up to it and it goes up in this wide arc.
Yeah. They were good, but even that had a speed limit. Bob's put, I know you've always sitting there waiting to find out. Bob's app was MyScript Nebo. There we go. Thank you, Bob, for looking that up, mate. That means the world to us. That's a text. My son is at his prom tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He got all smartly dressed up in his suit. He did look very good, I have to say. His girlfriend came round to see him off because she's in the year below. She can't go with him. She's only 6 months younger than him, so
it's, she should have just snuck in there, wouldn't have known.
I just looked up the Android store and the Hot Wheels digital game isn't there. I don't see it.
It's not been issued yet, but it's going to be it's on sale. It's going to be on sale exclusively in Apple.
It's an only Apple thing, isn't it?
Yeah, which is a bit that just doesn't sound right, but it'll be online as well as in the Apple store. But
when they don't sell many units, it'll tumble in price and it'll come out somewhere else.
I can see me buying a set of this just for old time's sake.
Yeah.
Put it on the my missus will go mad.
But you can only get a set track.
I would say that people that are letting their kids play with a $1,000 phone are probably not buying them $10 cars.
Yeah, but how much is the set going to be, though?
Well, it's $100, it's $179, but that includes two cars.
Oh, man.
Two cars, Jesus.
$179. That's for a bit of plastic.
It's quite a. You get quite a lot of track.
Not metal cars anymore.
And it also, there's a unit that counts the speed and measures the speed. And that track isn't like.
Oh,
the track.
Well, okay then.
And that track isn't the track that we used to have. Just a bit of plastic. It's got sensors in it, so it knows where the car is all the time around the track.
I'm pretty sure I could probably buy a Raspberry Pi and a few sensors and build something for that. And buy an old Hot Wheels set and come out still way below $179.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know where the cars were, mate. And you'd lose sleep at night not knowing.
But he could buy little little chips and put them underneath the track. But I don't know how exactly they do it. But that track, you can use old track as well with it. It's compatible with the old track. But unfortunately, if you do that, then the intelligent bit doesn't work.
Bob thinks it sounds a decent price.
I think it is. It's not going to be that. I mean, in pounds sterling, it's going to be awful. But if they did it properly, that would be about what, 130, 140 for a reasonable set. And remember, the cars are $8 a pop, so you got $16 off of that. You can buy the controller separate. In fact, you can buy all the bits separate. But I think it's cheaper to buy it all in one and then just add extra track. You can buy as much track as you want if you want to buy extra. So
I've still got all of my Matchbox cars up in my parents' loft in boxes. They had Matchbox, not the boxes that I bought them in. They had, used to buy a suitcase that had partitions in it, and you could put your cars in the partitions and then close it down and carry it around like a bag. And I've got three of those, and they're all full of Matchbox cars.
They want the paper, mate. They want the paper card.
Bob says, is it better than Scale Electrics? It's not the same kind of thing as Scale Electrics, is it really? But that's proper racing, whereas this is just peddling cars in sequence, around the same track.
Scale Electrics is treated by adults too seriously, and kids don't get to play with it.
Yeah.
I saw an iTunes thing where they take the cars apart and do all sorts, put new suspension on them and, you know, all the things that we'd have loved to have done years ago. Take it far too. Wasn't there, what's his name, May? He did one, didn't he, at Sky Electrics?
He did a long Sky Electric, like a mile of it, yeah.
Yeah.
They had massive problems with the power dropouts.
Well, they put batteries, didn't they, every 200, several hundred metres. I don't know, it was quite a lot, wasn't it? It was a lot longer than a... 700 metres, was it a few miles?
Yeah, it was a mile or so, yeah.
Yeah.
Greeny, what did you have a car set?
No, I don't know if I did.
Yeah, no. Howard, did you
have a car set? That's the end of that.
No. I don't think I had a car set. I did have little. I didn't have a track. I do remember getting some little cars. My brothers might have had a track. I don't remember.
What was your kid toy, Howard? Was it a Barbie?
Lego.
Lego. Yeah,
that as well. The thing is, you could put the Lego on this to build the track and put the banking on and everything. You could and little houses and buildings alongside the track. That's what maybe brother did.
Muller's never going to come and do this show again once this is ready. He's just going to be back home
playing with his Hot Wheels set.
Yeah. And it's not your pick either, is it? That was a story, worryingly.
Yeah, I was going to use it as a pick, but I thought we got too many serious stories, and I thought let's have a light-hearted one for a change.
Okay, good job, mate. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. We love them to bits. Please support them. Now, you can buy stuff from them. You can use the offer code BTN20, and a lot of people have, actually. And Ian Lewis, who's in our Slack room and an incredibly good photographer, moved his website over to them a little while ago. And he got a notification through from that they found malicious code on his site, and would he mind dealing with it before they took it down, otherwise they didn't want it spreading. So he went on, didn't know what it was, couldn't find it, so he went on to the support people, and he said the support people were unreal. It walked him through what to do, how to do it, where to do it, what the problem was, helped him correct it all, and his site was back up and running straight away afterwards. Really good tech support from them. What we do need from you is brand recognition, so please take to the Twitters, take to social media all over the place and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting At British Tech, because without them, we disappear. We do not have any bandwidth than what they give us. So it is important that you guys do give them that brand recognition. Please do that as much as you can. Thanks also to Hoya, because they give me my glasses, and I love my glasses for doing the shows. These are my DSE glasses, and I've got another pair here for general vision. And my Unikus are special. If you'd like Unikus, then write to podcast@hoya.co.uk, and Mark and the team there will pick it up, and they'll arrange for you to go and get the red carpet treatment at somewhere who's got a Uniku machine. But it is a lovely set of glasses and well worth every penny. Right. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Muller.
Okay. Another podcast.
What?
Oh yeah, I'm finding loads lately. So it's another sort of it's called the Boring Talks, and there's over 30 of them at the moment, and they're all on subjects that you probably wouldn't normally hear people talking about. For instance, there's on the one page I'm looking at taxidermy and autonomy of cornflakes, but there's on all sorts of subjects, and some of them you buzz through, but some of them are quite interesting. I was listening to one this morning on earthquakes and the damage they caused in the UK, which I'll give you the secret: there was no damage. So it was quite giggly. I mean, some of the damage was like somebody's garden chair fell over, and that's about it. But you might not want to watch them all or listen to them all, I'm sorry, but they are quite amusing if you're in the car and you just want to listen to them.
Excellent, mate. Free, of course. Available on iTunes and other podcast downloading apps, and on the Sounds app as well.
Yeah.
Excellent, good pick. Howard, what do you have?
Ooh, mine's a bit lighthearted. If anyone has ever wanted to go to Mars, can sort of go there now. Well, actually, you can send your name. So NASA's doing this, they're issuing out boarding passes to send people's names off to Mars.
It's going on the side of the rover, isn't it? We did cover this a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, I missed that one then.
It's the episode called
Another one.
Well, no, it's the episode called Rover McRoverface, because Deep Pan actually registered the name Rover McRoverface to go on the rover. So it's going to be on, there is Rover McRoverface going to
Rover
Mars.
Rover McRoverface.
I've registered my whole family, and I've registered two generations back as well.
Yeah. I'm surprised they've only got about 1 million. You think they'd get a lot more?
It should have gone up by now. I think it's closed after a while, doesn't it?
Well, there's only a limit on what they can put on, isn't there? It's only about the size of a 10-pence piece, the disc, and it's going to have 4 million names on it or something. I thought they'd have more than that. I thought they'd want a billion names on or something stupid.
Well, they've got enough to take a billion names, but they haven't reached there yet. They're only about a million something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
but
cool.
Okay, if you covered that one, did
I say I do have a second?
Come on, then.
This one is not a funny one. Oops. It's for anyone who uses, who's used Affinity.
Oh, Affinity Photo.
Yes, they have actually issued out Affinity Publisher now.
So that's come out. Karen. Yeah, good.
And they are doing a deal at the moment. I think it's like 20% off.
Oh, that is cool.
On all their products. So it's to celebrate the fact that they have issued out Publisher, and they've also updated Photo and Designer as well. And now they've got something called Studio Link, which allows you to link. I think you can only do it from Publisher at the moment, but it lets you link it to Photo and Designer.
Right, okay.
So you can switch your personas, per se, into any one of the others once you're in Publisher.
Yeah, I'm going to find it hard to jump from Photoshop and the affiliated apps, but this does look nice, but I'm just not going to do it. But I totally get it. I get it why people do it.
I think the trouble with Serif, if you remember Serif's marketing years ago, when you bought one, they brought out 6 months later another one, they expect you to buy that. There was no upgrade path. And I used to buy Serif stuff because it was cheap. But then I got fed up of their marketing, and they bully you on the phone and by email to buy the next one. But you only just brought the other one out. So why should I pay £80, £90 or whatever it was for it?
Well, they haven't bullied me yet, so.
No, they're not like that anymore, because it's just you either buy it or you don't buy it. But
yeah.
But yeah. But was Serif PageMaker?
I think they did, yeah. I had the whole suite, because you could buy it. If you bought it as a suite, it was cheaper, wasn't it? This is obviously in the noughties.
Yeah. No, good one. Good pick, mate. Well done. Atlee.
Yeah, so something I picked up for myself, SanDisk has released, Samsung, have released a 512 gig micro SD card and a 1 terabyte one, but I'm not going to spend that kind of money for a 1 terabyte one yet.
So how much is the, because this is, it's $95, so that's £95.
£95.
Pounds, yeah, which is really good. That's not bad at all.
Very good.
Yeah, exactly. Now the SanDisk one is £181, and it will read at 160, but it still only writes at 90. So for me, I'm fine with reading it on only 100 megabytes per second. I mean, for what I do use on my phone, it's fine. But yeah.
Great for 3D cameras.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. It's nice to have more space. The 1 terabyte one is a little bit more expensive. Let's see.
The Hero.
And I made sure that I went to amazon.co.uk so that I could not harm your sensibilities. Yeah, so the SanDisk Extreme that reads at 160 and writes at 90 for 1 terabyte is £453.99.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll post that in the chat.
That's coming down there. But no, 512 for £95. Bloody good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. When I saw that, I was like, there's my cool thing. I actually picked myself up one today. So.
No question.
Yeah, pretty happy with it.
It'd good be nice stuff. if Max had an SD slot. That'd be extra
soon. Oh, yeah.
Like what they used to do. Because you could put one of those in your Mac and you'd have a place to put your movies and stuff, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
No, that's what I do is on my phone, I keep a copy of all the installers to make a dev environment plus a virtual dev environment, a virtual image of a dev environment. And then I keep music and movies and stuff like that and books and podcasts. And so it fills up pretty quick. So looking forward to having more space.
Good pick, mate. Right, Greeny boy, don't die before you've given a short pick.
Well, I don't mean to. So for me, I originally had the BlackBerry Oh, the BlackBerry, oh, I'm going mad. The Raspberry Pi 1, and now they've released the Raspberry Pi 4, and I sort of, I wouldn't say that I'm particularly massively geeky, but I do enjoy a bit of Linux, and so when I can afford it, I'll buy one of the 4s. They look great. I think they're available in 2, 4, or 8 gig RAM configurations. You can get them in a box, which comes with a keyboard and a mouse and the Raspberry Pi, and also a case for it that goes around the Raspberry Pi. Been a bit of an old school guy. I also like a RISC OS Pi. Also, you can run a RISC OS on them, and they're just—I think they're really fun. And I think they're getting younger people into computing. So that would be my pick. It would be the Raspberry Pi 4.
Excellent, like that.
The Raspberry Pi 4 that I'm looking at has an SDHC reader, and it comes with a card as well. So you get a 16 gig card, but you could put up to 200 gigs of storage on this thing. If you want to, for fairly inexpensively. I mean, 200 gigs of storage right now is not going for very much.
I think they called the box the Raspberry Pi 4 laptop kit, I think it is. That's about 100 quid, and that comes with an SD card as well and everything else you need. And the only thing you don't get is, of course, a monitor. But you can put it on your TV, or you can put it, or you can just get a cheap monitor. I think they'll go up to dual with the 4, dual 4K displays, which is pretty impressive for a little thing.
Well, I just posted the cost for the SanDisk micro SDXC, XC. I'm going to find the HC one, but the XC 200 gig is only, I think it's XC.
40 pounds.
It? Yeah, it's only 40 pounds.
Not too shabby, is it? Yeah.
Great. Oh, very good. Very good. Mm. Michael thing. I've got addicted to this, and this is going to surprise you, because actually it's a bit of a shit game, to be honest. So mine is Castle Wreck. It's a very simple game. You have a cannon, and there is a castle, and unfortunately the people that are there are not bright enough to realize that they shouldn't be storing TNT in their medieval castle. So you get an up and a down and then a cross, and you fire your stuff at it. But if you hit perfect, then it gives you a molten cannonball, which really sends everything going. And the thing with this is, I don't know how much you can see there on the screen, it is just utterly satisfying.
Smash everything.
And you have to you have to crush enough of the castle with the cannonballs that you've got, and then it advances you to the next one. And you do the next... I've done 212 levels on it. So this one, you only need one ball to get this one. But you just get in at the base, blast the crap out of it, and the whole thing just comes a look at that. Now, number one, the physics of watching the thing collapse is absolutely serene. I just get, I can feel my blood pressure going down just watching it come down. But what really makes it cool is the taptic stuff, because as it's crumbling, the vibration on the the vibration on the phone is, here we go, I've got a perfect. So you get a molten cannonball now. But that just adds to the destructive power. But as you get all of these blocks going down, the noise is, I don't know what it is, it's just realistic. And you get the taptic engines giving you this drip, 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 drip of all of the things as they come down and hit the ground. And it's really therapeutic. I absolutely adore this game. It's free with ads, or $2.99 if you want to get rid of the ads. And the $2.99 is well worth it. I've sat and played it and played it and played it and played it. And it is boring because it does do the same things over and over. And I haven't got a castle that I can't win now. So I just keep winning as I go through. But it's almost like it's just, here we go, boss level. It's almost like you just go through, just bit of therapy in the evenings. Just blow the crap, blow the crap out of something. And it just, I love the way it just colour out. And let me do the one in the middle here. The oh shit, that's the wrong one. I'll do the one in the middle in a second. I can edit. Don't worry. But just watch the way that this folds. Here we go. And you've got to bear in mind, every brick that comes down, I'm getting a little tap on my fingers. It's just so, the granularity of the way it falls to pieces is just superb. I love it. Castle Rec, $2.99. There we go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Muller?
Muller Biker on Twitter, and Muller999 on Instagram and in the Slack room.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Howie, where would you be?
Twitter is Howie A, and in the Slack room is Howie Bashir. Okay.
Atlee, where are you, buddy?
I'm at Atlee Hunter on Instagram and Twitter.
Excellent, mate. And you, any close to doing a Microsoft show or a Pocket show again?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I am a lot closer. I actually need to have a couple of conversations with you, but yeah.
Well, I think Patrice has already done some work on setting up the stuff ready for it. There's a feed already made.
Oh, sweet.
You just got to make a show, mate.
That's fantastic.
And I've got to do a logo. And Grinny Boy, where would you be, buddy?
So, British Mac, you can find me on iTunes. There's a full edition coming out on Sunday.
Awesome.
And I've also submitted a new podcast.
Go on.
And it's called, so it hasn't been accepted yet. I only submitted it this morning. I think it takes about a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's called the Sunday Papers. And it's a relaxed look through the Sunday Papers. Out every week. Guess what day?
Monday.
Yeah, that's right, yes. So, it's good.
Is it just you against the microphone with the Sunday paper going, yeah.
I've got to be honest, it sort of is. And I listened to the first one, I sort of recorded one, and it is so boring.
You're really selling it here, mate. You're really selling it. I'm salivating.
I listened to it. I thought, Christ, you've got to sort this out. And so for episode number two, I'm going to sort of G it all up a bit, and less politics and more... more sex, I think, is probably the way to go. Make the Sunday Papers a little bit more exciting. Oh, I did come across one story that I found interesting. In America, if somebody dies now, they can have above ground burials. And so, your grandma dies or something, and you don't have to go to the trouble of putting them in a coffin and then burying it or doing anything. You just lie out on the ground. That's it.
Let wild animals eat it.
Well, I suppose so. I don't know. I don't know what happens. Or we put them in the green recycle bin or something. But it's...
More like the compost.
Yeah, the compost. I suppose. But I thought that was interesting. They're doing that in America now. So that'd be quite interesting. But no, a talking point. When your friends and family come round and you show them the garden and then granny's there,
just put them on a boat in a lake and shoot an arrow at it. And then the boat burns. And
You could do that, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, put a Viking helmet on there. And have a big fat lady singing.
The Boring Papers show is will be live on iTunes and enjoy.
There's already a boring show. So you might not get that one.
Well, this one doesn't do very well either. So. We've got a new podcast too.
Ooh.
We have got Crack at the Rootless. So there's a lady called Marie-Louise Blunn who owns an inflatable pub. How cool's that? It's a great little thing. It's not little, it's big actually. It's huge. 10 metres by 8 metres when it's fully up. And it's a fantastic venue. She's got a pub and bar that she puts up in it, and people hire it. It's at the rugby club, my rugby club, next week. It's going to be absolutely great. She's going to get it out and get some photos done and that kind of thing. But she does Crack at the Rootless, and Crack at the Rootless is us talking about what's on around the country, or even around the world, if you want to send us your stuff and say we got a fair in Denver, we'll read out the fair in Denver. And we're going to do some tastings of beers and that kind of stuff. So we did a few ales today. We did two American ales because it's coming up to July 4th next week. And we did two British ales. And they were good. I was quite surprised by a couple of them. Next week, we're doing mixers. Okay, so there's new dark mixers coming out from Schweppes, and they're going to send us some to try out. So there should be some really good stuff going on. It's Crack at the Rootless. You can get it on the webpage at bridgetonetwork.com, and it's also being approved for iTunes as we speak, so hopefully that'll be up and running just after the weekend. Two episodes up now, and third on the way. There we go. Awesome. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get the network at British Tech. You can follow us on British Tech Live on Facebook, because we're publishing to there now as well. That's pretty cool. We've done our first one tonight, so we'll see who's watching that. That's the lot. Well, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Right. I'm going to stop streaming.
Oh, good.
I'm going to stop streaming. And I'm going to change the output settings. We're going to go back live again in a second. The chat room can see us, but
I'll let them know we're coming back. Actually, Facebook might be all right, because I mean,
okay. No, I just want to, because we say inappropriate shit. There we go, we're back. We say inappropriate shit at the end of the shows, and I just don't. I don't want the Facebook thing to be a reason I never work again.